Thank you, Jeanette, John. Back to Esther 2. Amazing story. I think you were blessed in reading it. I know I was. Another type and shadow and picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our God has made many stories and pictures in the Old Testament that represent His Son. Pictures, depictions of Him before He came, so that we might know Him when He came, that this is the Christ. Pictures. Those who love Christ love to look at His pictures. You love your loved ones and you still look at old pictures of them, don't you? Time and again. You have many pictures, don't you? Our Lord has given many pictures of, God has given many pictures of our Lord. And because no one picture can adequately depict Him and display His glories, there are too many. So that's why there's so many. And not one of them is perfect. Just like no picture is as good as the person, the one you love in person. Now, we love to look at these pictures, don't we? Chapter 1, by way of review. The king, Ahasuerus, represents our God, reigning over all. And the queen, who was his queen, Vashti, represents man, who fell, disobeyed him, did not glorify him, did not honor him, would not come to him. She represents man, and she fell. And then the king banished her, didn't he? Cast her out. He cast Adam and Eve out of the garden and barred the way with a flaming sword, flaming cherub. And they said in verse 19 of chapter 1, let the king, the last line, give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. Better than she. The book of Hebrews, all the way through, talks about one that is better. Better than the law, better than the house, better than Aaron, better than Moses. Speaking of Christ. So the search began. And then chapter 2 is where we pick up. And the title of this and the subject here is the one who pleased the king. The one who pleased the king and all who knew her. She was so pleasing to everyone that knew her, as is Christ our Lord. Seven points. Number 1, the decree. Number 2, the gathering. Number 3, the keeper. Number 4, the substitute. Number 5, the Jew. Number 6, Hadassah. That's her real name. And then number 7, the coronation and feast. The decree, look at verse 1. The king, Ahasuerus, when he was appeased, his wrath was appeased. He remembered Vashti, what she had done, and what was decreed against her. And he's going to do something. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Why did man fall in the garden? Because God decreed it. That's enough said about that. Evil is here, isn't it? It could not be here had God not decreed it. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. And his wrath, though, must be appeased. His wrath, his justice must be satisfied. I kept thinking about Habakkuk's prayer. Habakkuk 3, we've looked at it many times. He said, Lord, I've heard your speech, and I was afraid. Oh, in wrath, remember mercy. So this king decided to show some mercy. But who shall ascend unto the holy hill of the Lord? Psalm 24 said, he that hath clean hands, he that hath a pure heart, he that hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity or sworn deceitfully. Nobody fits that bill but one. And he came, cried. So here's the gathering. Look at verses 2 and 3. I said 7 points. It scared you, didn't it? Okay. We're already on point 2. Here's the gathering. The king's servants that ministered unto him said, let there be young virgins sought for the king. Let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, under the custody of Haggai, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given. So the king, by way of his servants, according to command, purposed a gathering. Does that sound familiar? Go to Ephesians 1. Go over to Ephesians chapter 1. They were to be gathered together, all the virgins, to the king's palace, the court of the king, and the one that pleaseth the king in her, in search of her. They were all gathered together for the sake of one. And that's exactly what the gospel says here in Ephesians. Ephesians 1, look at this, and this is God's decree and God's purpose, known unto God. Where do you start? Look at verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Here's the theme of chapter 2, isn't it? Wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, his son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So go back to Esther. So there was to be a gathering by order of the king, and he had these officers gather them. Who are they? Preachers of the gospel. Please God by the foolishness of preaching. And they were gathered to this keeper of women. Who's that? Well, that's the Holy Spirit. Look at point number three. Verse 3, the king appoint the officers and young virgins brought to the house of the king into the custody of this Haggai, gathered for safekeeping, for beautification. This man was a eunuch, meaning undefiled with women, keeper of these women, a purifier, one who would purify these women. That's the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. The gospel of God's salvation can be summed up three ways. Election by the Father, redemption by the Son, and regeneration by the Holy Spirit. It's a triune work of God. Or ruined by the fall, we just looked at that. Redeemed by the Son, regenerated by the Spirit. Ruined, redeemed, the three R's. That's the foundation. That's the fundamental. The gospel is what God decreed to be the means of gathering all his people. And the Holy Spirit is the one who blesses the preaching of the gospel and brings his people in to worship God in the house of the king, in the courts of God. He's made us kings and priests in his house. And the Holy Spirit gives repentance, faith, life. He gathers us, the elect, to God through Christ and him crucified. Point number four. The substitute. Look at verse 4. Let the maiden which pleaseth the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. This was all by decree, a substitute. The fall was by the decree of God. Known unto God are all his work from the beginning. Everything purposed by God before the world began. Christ is the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God chose a people, put their names in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. It's all happened before the fact, didn't it? God said, I've spoken it, I will do it. I purposed it, I will bring it to pass. I will and you shall. Aren't you glad that God is sovereign and has decreed all things, everything. All things work together according to this purpose for our salvation, for God's glory. And the substitute, this one who is going to be in the stead of one better than the first, the fallen one, she was there all along, yet to be revealed. The maiden, she's a virgin. She's emerged. She's to be queen. In the previous chapter it says, give her royal estate unto another. Unlike Vashti, Vashti didn't have any authority. She didn't reign. She didn't have any sovereignty over anything. But our Lord does. All power is given unto him in heaven and earth. God the Father, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And God said unto the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. He does reign and rule over all, according to God's decree. So let her royal estate be given to one better than she, in the stead of. That's a familiar term. Go to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, this is glorious, which speaks of God's elect, whom all God's people are chosen in Christ, and his servant, who shall bring forth judgment, justice, salvation to the Gentiles. Isaiah 42, look at it. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentile. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break. The smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth. In the isles, everything and everyone waits for his law. Verse 6, I, the Lord, speaking to Christ, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant. The second Adam, the covenant head of the people, for a light even of the Gentiles. Verse 21. And it says, the Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. Let the maiden who pleaseth the king come in and be queen instead of. Well, he did. Christ came. The substitute. Jesus Christ the righteous. The substitute in the stead of Adam. Adam rebelled. Christ obeyed. Adam fell. Christ is high and lifted up. In Adam all die, but in Christ all his people are made alive. In the stead of. Is that, do you remember over in Genesis 22? Where Abraham turned and looked and saw a ram caught by his horns in the thicket. His head, his horns, his power was surrounded by a crown of thorns in the thicket. And Abraham laid hold of that ram and offered him up. Can you quote the rest of it? In the stead of his son. That's substitution. That's the gospel. The gospel is substitution and satisfaction. This woman had to please the king. Not only fair and beautiful, but obedient, humble, devoted, faithful and true. And Esther was. She was. And beautiful. In the stead of the Jew. Let's look at the Jew. Number 5. Verse 5. Now in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, a certain Jew, chosen by God, a lover of Esther, taken up with Esther. Esther was his life. Esther was one with him. She was his family. He and she were one. They were united. They loved each other. Verse 6 says he was a captive. He was one of these captives brought in by Nebuchadnezzar, captive in Babylon. He was brought in with Zerubbabel. Well, that's another story, another picture of Christ. Have you ever heard of Zerubbabel? He's all through the Old Testament, another picture of Christ. But he was brought in with Zerubbabel, this Mordecai. And the rest of the book now, the rest of Esther, concerns the salvation of the Jews. This whole book is about the salvation of the Jews, isn't it? You remember when our Lord was speaking to the woman at the well? He said, woman, you know not what you worship. We know what we worship. He said, salvation is of the Jews, didn't it? Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that God is a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's not Ishmael. Not the God of Ishmael, not Esau, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, God of of covenant. He made a covenant with Abraham concerning Christ. Abraham represents Christ in that covenant. Jacob have I loved. God of sovereign election. Sovereign love. This is the God of the Bible. And he chose a people and they're called Jews. And all Israel shall be saved. But he's not a Jew which is one outwardly, scripture said, but inwardly. And the marks of a true Jew, Paul wrote in Philippians 3, are they worship God in the spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, no confidence in the flesh. We don't observe all these fleshly ordinances, the beggarly elements. No, we don't observe an altar like Southern Baptist. And no, we have an altar and he's Jesus Christ. And the way to God is still the way he purposed it in the beginning. You got to have a tabernacle, you got to have a high priest, and you got to have a sacrifice. And these three are one. Jesus Christ. Tabernacle among us. He's the sacrifice, and he's the one high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Like Esther, no father and mother. Oh my. Did God write this book or what? A certain Jew. Held captive. He's the God of the Jews, the Savior of the Jews. And he's the one that makes his people Jews. Circumcision of the heart. Not with hands, but by the Spirit of God. So these three things, the high priest, the tabernacle, and the sacrifice, represent Christ. Well, this verse 7, this Jew, Mordecai, who is he? Who does he represent? Well, he represents every believer who's looking for the Christ, but I believe he represents the prophets. He represents all the prophets. Because he talked about Esther. Everything he said, everything he did, his whole life was devoted to Esther. And to him, to Christ, give all the prophets witness. Christ said, they are they which testify of me. Moses wrote of me. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. All the prophets. To him, give all the prophets witness. That's why they were raised up. The prophets were raised up to declare, to witness, to write of Jesus Christ. And that's Mordecai. That's his job. And Mordecai was concerned with one thing. Is Esther going to be accepted? Mordecai was pacing the floor, as it were, not knowing. Well, the prophets, Peter wrote of this. They wrote of things revealed to us. But they wrote of Christ, didn't they? And they all give witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he represent all the prophet. The substitute. Hadassah. Verse 7. Look at it. Here she comes. So he brought up Hadassah. That is Esther. The uncle's daughter. She had neither father nor mother. And the maid was fair. Fair of form. Good of countenance. Beautiful. Whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. Hadassah is her name. Hadassah. Esther is a Chaldean, a Persian name of has really no meaning. And that's fitting too, because Revelation talks about Christ having a name which no man knew save he to whom he revealed it. But her name is Hadassah. What does that mean? It means myrtle tree. Myrtle tree. Now, scripture speaks a great deal of the myrtle tree. I want to show you one and prepare to be blessed. Isaiah 55, go over there. Isaiah 55, myrtle tree. Virginia is full of myrtle trees, aren't they? This is my favorite tree, one of them. Rightly so. We've got several in our yard, and they grow prolifically around here. We've got one that's red, the blooms are red. We've got one that the bark is red. That's fitted. And it's a hardy tree. Beautiful tree. Thornless tree. When man fell in the garden, because of sin, thorns and thistles grew up, didn't it? Thorns and thistle, because of sin, which represent pain and suffering and sorrow, sting, thistle, like stinging nettle. Have you ever been stung by stinging nettles? It's terrible. And we were with Barbara and Charles Ross picking berries one time, and I got over the hill there, and Barbara said, "Look out for that." It's too late. I was in it. Stinging nettle. Got it all over me. It's awful. The sting of death. The sin. All around us. Thorns. Thorns of this life. Pain, the suffering. Okay? That came in with Adam, didn't it? Our Lord wore a crown of thorns, like that ram caught in a thicket. And He was made sin for us. The sting of death He removed by wearing this thing called sin in His body on the tree. A tree. He wore thorns on a tree and removed the sting, removed the sin. Look at Isaiah 55. This is another picture, type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4. "Behold, I have given Him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for He hath glorified thee." Verse 10. He's like the rain that cometh down, and snow, pure as a snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower. He's all of this, isn't it? He's the rain, He's the snow, He's the sower, He's the seed, and He's the bread to the eater. Verse 11. So shall my word be. That's Christ. "That goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please." The thing pleased the king. Whatsoever the king was pleased to do, that did he. And it pleased God to make Him our covenant head and you His people. "And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." Verse 12. "You shall go out with joy, be led forth with peace. The mountains and hills shall break forth before you into singing. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree." And what's it all for? It's be to the Lord for a name. To the praise of the glory of His name. The only name under heaven given among men whereby we shall and must be saved. An everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. All right, go back to our text. Go back to the text. Hadassah. Oh my, the myrtle tree. "Now she had neither father nor mother. Christ, Isaiah said, unto us a child is born." Yes, a baby was born. Called His name Jesus. But the Christ was eternal. The man named Jesus was born of a woman, made of a woman. We see Jesus made a little lower than the angel. But Christ was forever. He said to the Jews of the Pharisees, He said, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is He?" They said, "He's the son of David." He said, "Then why did David call Him Lord?" So He existed. His name in the Old Testament is Anointed. That's the cry. But He existed before, as Esther was not known until she was revealed. She was there all along. "And she had neither father nor mother." Now, she was an orphan because her parents died. "Now, a child is born, but the Son, the Eternal Son, is given. Call His name. Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father." How can the Son be the Father? I don't know, but He is. We believe. He said, "If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father, didn't you? I and the Father one." We believe that, don't we? Like Thomas of old, we bow the knee and call Him our Lord and our God. "Had neither father or mother, and a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, no beginning or end." Christ said, "I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end." "And she was fair." Very fair. Scripture says He's fairest among 10,000. He's anointed with the oil of gladness above His belly. I'm getting ahead of myself. But she was beautiful. "Oh, Shulamite maiden, let me ask you, What is your beloved more than another beloved? Would you describe him in two words? Altogether lovely. Altogether lovely. Like Esther, but better. Much better. And Mordecai owned her as his own. Christ said, my people, God's people are my people, my children, and I'm theirs. I am my beloved, and he is mine. And she pleaded, look at verse 9. The maiden pleased Hegai. Look at this. Pleased, she obtained kindness of him. I mean, speedily, he gave her things first for purification, such things as belonged to her. Wait a minute. You mean he gave her things that were already hers? Yes. It's fitting. Belonged to her. Seven maidens. Why seven? That's perfection. Such things as were meet or fitting to be given to her. Read on. Out of the king's house. The king handed it down. She was pleasing. He preferred her. And she was in the best place. That's right. Pleasing. Preferred. And in the best place. In heaven or at the right hand of the majesty on high. Let me read to you what John said of our Lord in John chapter 1, when he came, and what the Holy Spirit did when Christ came. John said, there standeth one among you whom you know not. Like they didn't know Esther. She's not yet revealed. Somebody knew her. Mordecai knew her. These fair maidens knew her. Now they already loved her. He it is, John said, coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. And these things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth him coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man which is preferred before me. For he was before me. Read on. Or listen on. And I knew him not, but he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, I'm baptizing with water. And John bare record saying, the Spirit. It was the Spirit that descended from heaven like a dove and abode on him. And I knew him not until the Spirit descending remained on him and said, this is he. The anointed one, the Christ. Same as baptized with the Holy Ghost, and I saw and bear record that this is the altogether lovely Son of the Most High God. And that's how he's revealed to all of us, by the Spirit of God, through the preaching of the Lamb of God, the Gospel of God. So she was pleasing, she was preferred, she was in the best place, and so were her maidens. Isn't this a good place? He's raised us, quickened us together with Christ, and made us sit together in heavenly places. This is the best place. This is the land of Goshen. Where all the loved of God dwell. Verse 10. Now Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. How many times did our Lord tell his disciple? He charged them not to make him known. Until it was time. Many times. Many times. Until it was time. Till the fullness of time was come. And Christ is hidden throughout the Old Testament scriptures. A veil is over the face of many unless God removes that veil to reveal Christ. Like his maidens knew Esther. Alright, look at verses 12 and 13. This is my last point. Here's the coronation and the feast. Now when every maiden's turn was come to go into the king Ahasuerus after she'd been 12 months according to the manner of women. So the days of purification are accomplished. It took 6 months of oil and 6 months of sweet odors and other things for the purifying of the women. In other words, it took a long time to purify them. Not Esther. She was already beautiful. But we're made beautiful as the child in Ezekiel through his coming. By the Spirit of God, purifying up. Then at verse 13, came every maiden unto the king. And whatsoever she desired was given to her. Didn't our Lord say, whatsoever you ask, it'll be given unto you? Didn't he say, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What do you need? All the maidens. What do you need? I'll give it to you. And they got it out of the king's house. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. Verse 14. In the evening, the maiden would go in. On the morrow, she returned to the second house of the women, custody of another. These names are long and difficult. Sheshgas, the king's chamberlain. And again, it's another Persian name, a mysterious name. I think he represents the angels of God who give him charge over that. One time, Gideon, the name came, the angel of the Lord came to Gideon, and Gideon said, what's your name? He said, it's secret. Don't ask my name. It's secret. And that's when he touched the altar and the sacrifice. So we're the angels of God. We're given to them to keep charge over us in God's house. And it says, except the king delighted in the maiden and she were called by name, she couldn't come in. Didn't Christ say in John 10, I know my sheep and I call them by name. All the Father gave me. Come to me. Now, here it is. Look at verse 15. You still with me? Trying my best, people. Now, when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing. She was naturally beautiful. Everything about it was naturally beautiful. Says that this man gave her the things she needed in the beginning. Well, Christ had the Spirit without measure, didn't he? From the beginning, without measure. When her turn was to come in, she came in, the keeper of the women appointed, given to her, anointed by the Holy Spirit there in Christ's baptism. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. Look unto me and be ye saved, he said, all the ends of the earth. You'll find grace in the eyes of the Lord, all that look upon him. And doesn't it say in Luke chapter 2 that our Lord grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men? And all those who look upon him, they love him. They love him dearly. So, verse 16, Esther was taken unto the king. Now, what do you think Mordecai was doing? Hoping, praying. You know, our Lord is our great high priest, and in the Old Testament, the high priest would have, he had bells and pomegranates on the hem of his garment. That's significant, isn't it? The hem of his garment. The woman with the issue said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. He's the high priest. Bells and pomegranate. Pomegranate being fruit. And bells. Why? Because he would go into the Holy of Holies once a year with the blood of a lamb for the remission of the sins of God's people. Jews, not the world. Jews, his people. He would go in beneath the veil into the Holy of Holies and pour that blood of the lamb on the altar, on the mercy seat, hoping, praying that God would accept that blood, accept his sacrifice for the people, on behalf of the people. And he had these bells on his garment, okay? And the people would listen for the ringing of the bells. And as long as those bells were ringing, he's alive. He's alive. And I'm to ring the bell. I'm here to tell you, he's alive. And then they waited. And what happened? If God accepted it, he came out of the veil with a smile on his face. And everybody else rejoiced too. The sacrifice has been accepted. And so have we been accepted in the beloved because of Christ. He's alive. He's alive. Ring the bell loud and true. Because he bore fruit under our Lord, accepted, beloved, well-pleasing, preferred by God. And we're going to see And another time, the golden scepter. Okay? So, look at verse 17. Then the king loved Esther above all the women. And she obtained grace and favor. Oh, grace is poured into his lips, scripture said. She was the king's favorite. That's okay by me, isn't it? Didn't God say when on the Mount of Transfiguration to his disciples, "This is my beloved son"? They were taken up with Moses. They were taken up with Elijah. And God said, "This is my favorite. Don't build a tabernacle, a monument to these men, but bow down and worship the Son. My well-beloved, only begotten Son, hear ye him. Bow to him. I have declared the decree. This day have I begotten thee." He set his king on his royal throne. Jesus Christ, the favorite. And more than all the virgins, Psalm 45 says he's anointed him with the oil of gladness above his fellow. And so the king Ahasuerus set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. He loved her. He was well pleased with her. And he put a crown royal on her head. And you know what? He set her right down on the right hand of his majesty. And that's where she sat, his queen. And after Christ, after he had obtained eternal redemption for us, scripture says he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Well pleasing. The Lord well pleased for his righteousness sake. Because he made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant. God has given him a name above every name. And rather, it's no coincidence that Psalm 2 speaks of his coronation, that Acts 2, Peter preached of his coronation, Philippians 2 speaks of his coronation, and Hebrews 2 speaks of his coronation. You want to remember those things? Chapter 2. Esther 2. That's no coincidence. God wrote this book. About who? Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Crown him with many crowns. He's our substitute, our righteous representative, our covenant head. Then the king made a great feast. He called it Esther's Feast. This is Esther's Feast. And Revelation speaks of the marriage of the supper of the Lamb, doesn't it? And look at this, verse 18. He made a release. I just about split my britches when I read this. But the margin says, rest. He made a feast and told everybody, quit working. Just come sit and rest. Why? Because I'm well pleased with her. My wrath is appeased. I'm happy. I'm well pleased with your substitute. Just come and dine. Isn't that the gospel we preach? Christ, our Sabbath. I read. And he gave gifts. Ooh, when the Lord turned our captivity, our mouths were filled with laughter. These things are too good to be true. He gave gifts according to the state of the king. Doesn't it say in Ephesians 4, when Christ ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men? What? Some prophets, some apostles, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for what? The perfecting of the saints. Till we all come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Come into the kingdom. The virgins, verse 19, were gathered together. Second time. There's going to be a second gathering. Are you with me? A second gathering. There's a first gathering. Here we are. There's going to be a second one. Oh, man. Gathered together a second time. And then Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Now Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people, as Mordecai had charged her. Boy, that's prophetic. And the Jews to this day don't know Jesus Christ. They don't know. that he's the only Messiah, their only hope. They don't know. All those types, all those ceremonies, all these, they still read these books. They just don't know because he's hidden these things. But aren't we blessed? Aren't we blessed? Were you blessed with just... The half was not told. I just scratched the surface. We waded ankle deep in that ocean of his fullness. This is a hymn book of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand with me. Our Father in heaven, oh Lord, thank you for this glorious book, thy book, the Word of God, and that's his name, the Word was God, made flesh, dwelt among us. That's his name he has on his thigh, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Word of God, revealed only to his people. How we thank you, Lord. We praise you like you, like Christ did, that you've hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babe. Even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. Thank you, Lord, for what we do know. Thank you for what we have revealed to us. Christ in us, our hope of glory. Christ with you, our hope of glory. It's in his name we pray and give thanks. Amen. You're dismissed.